Ready in here.
All right, let's go.
Ready in Hamesh, Shalosh, Albo, Stein. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
How you doing, moms? We bring up my dates, Chad. I got some new dates in 2024 that have just dropped. My year is over. I am not touring anymore, but I will be going to, let's start at the first one. Ooh, Seattle, Washington, the Neptune Theater, February 17th. Tickets are almost gone. Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco the next night, February 18th. Then the Gramercy Theater in Jewdork Titties, March 23rd. And then March 24th, Ridgefield Playhouse in Ridgefield, Connecticut.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I've never heard of Ridgefield, Connecticut. Have you, Jessica Curson?
Yes, I've played that place. It's very nice.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Where is Ridgefield? This is Jessica Curson, everybody, if you don't fucking know.
Hi, everyone.
She is the funniest human being on the planet.
That's so nice.
I had the privilege of knowing you and watching you and now watching you fucking blow up because of TikTok, because people are finally getting to know you now.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, duh, she's amazing. And I what I love most about you, well, not most, but is you and I are very much of the same school of thought of like, I don't want to post my tits or pussy to
well,
sell
mine
tickets.
Are, first of all, my tits are so uneven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, mine are garbage disaster.
Well, they're minor,
too.
They look like dog toys.
Yeah. My tits are longer than the Wolf of Wall Street. And I don't
I
care. I
tripped
I'm not
over my
them.
Left tit on the way in yeah. here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's disgusting.
Yeah. And what about your pussy? I mean,
for fuck, the pussy's destroyed.
Yeah.
I've had two people blow out of there. It's a
I've had none blow out of there and it's not good.
You're kidding. Why?
No, I didn't have any, I didn't want to ruin this temple.
No, I know that you never gave birth, but, no. But why is your vag messed up?
It's not. I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if just aging did that to vag.
Well, I have two vaginas down there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
What's your pronoun? I didn't know that you were.
I identify as anxious. No, you know, I have four daughters and two baby mamas.
I know.
Yeah, because I didn't wear protection. I didn't have a condom. I didn't have a condom on my strap on. So
many children.
Yeah.
So much life.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Why I'm always on the road. It's a lot.
It's a lot. Meaning yeah. like you're always on the road to make money or to get away from
your
family.
I have to make money. There's a lot of people to support.
So many people to yeah. support.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great now that you're in a position where you're really doing well and you're moving tickets. But my goodness, remember those early years where you're like,
Are you kidding?
Pay rent and I'm so stressed out and I have to be funny at the same time.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, I was broke for a long time.
Yeah.
I bartended during the day and it was really hard.
Yeah.
That burp was horrific.
Hurt. Yeah.
Did it was really hard.
Did you feel like you were going to vomit just then? Or
no, I burped. You just sat with me and I yeah. slammed
yeah.
a chicken burger with a lettuce wrap down
you.
My throat.
I
Did you,
you
see me even take a break? Be honest.
No, I didn't. But I also respect, here's what I respected about our lunch together just now. I usually reserve that kind of eating behavior for my alone meals.
I know.
You were full throttle. And I'm like, she's fucking hungry. Like,
I
the
was
bitch eat.
Starving.
Yeah, let her eat.
Yeah. I normally wait because I like to torture myself. So I wait
Shit,
until
same.
I'm... I do it on purpose.
I do it on
I'm
purpose,
self,
too.
I hurt myself.
Me, too. Do you? Yeah. Here's what I started doing, too. Do you hold your pee?
Of course I do.
So much.
I hold my pee. I hold my shit. I wait until I'm starving. I torture myself because I feel like I don't deserve anything.
I don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
You know what I recently started doing about 2 years ago? Drying myself off after I get out of the shower fully.
Yeah.
I used to just kind of, enough. because I don't deserve to be dry.
I'm just...
I angrily try to rip on pants.
I wait to get a haircut. Like, I look like Rapunzel. Like, it's really bad.
All this self-care, all this self-love.
Yeah.
What's going on with us? Why are we doing this?
Because I wasn't taught to take care of myself. Neither I really I. wasn't. My hair was always in knots when I was a kid. I wasn't taught to do it. No one was there to be like, brush your teeth. I mean, it's surprising I have teeth.
I know. You know what's funny is, so yeah, I brush my children's teeth every night. And I'm like, I don't have a single memory of my parents either. Being like, oh,
I don't have a memory about anything. Do you? I have no, I've blocked everything out.
There's just holes in my brain. I think, and my therapist goes, she's like, well, yeah, you had a lot of trauma, so there's all these holes.
Yeah, totally.
And we have to sew it up, is what she said.
I have like five memories.
And me too! They're awful. They're all terrible.
One of them is of my parents pulling my arms on a staircase for me to go with one of them.
Oh my.
Isn't that horrible?
I bet that's a young one for you.
Yeah, young. I was probably like 10 or 11.
And they wanted.
I probably was like six and I'm making that. I just completely made those ages
up. And why
up.
Were they pulling you?
Because they were fighting and they wanted me to come with each one of them. I mean, it was really bad. Ugh. Yeah. It was bad. No wonder why I was fat.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I should have had an eating disorder is what my therapist says.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I would do is I'd get weird about barfing. I would be convinced that every time I eat, it would end up that I would vomit. And I would do this weird thing. And I do it still when I'm anxious, where I like.
I don't know why I'm laughing already.
Because it's terrible.
If you say
it's
what
terrible.
I think.
What? I count the hours down after I eat. So that I'm like, okay, I don't have food poisoning. But that's only when I'm really anxious. It's an OCD that I do.
Did you ever eat something and then spit it out?
What do you mean?
Like you eat it, you taste it, and then you spit it out so you don't gain weight?
No, but that I can see myself doing
that. I do
that.
I've done it. I haven't done it recently. I've done it recently. I did do it recently. I forgot.
What did you not deserve?
I did it with my... I just did it, and you didn't even notice because you're so self-involved. I'm joking. You're not. I'm totally
worst.
Joking. I'm so self-involved. That's why I just said that I projected that onto
that's
you.
That's okay.
I want
I'm
to
very
admit
self-involved
that.
You these are? Days. These days, I'm going through
I feel like you're
it.
Not because you're so complimentary and so
oh,
loving.
No,
you know you are. I mean that.
But I genuinely adore you. Like when I say
thank you,
I've adored you for years. I mean, I remember the first time I saw you at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room and you're doing your act. And she does this great thing. If you haven't seen Jessica Kearse on live, you have to go see her. You're doing this thing where you say the joke and then you do your internal monologue. You're like, oh my God, they all
where I turn
me.
Around.
All
yeah.
I fucking think I'm a piece of shit. I'm so stupid. And I was like, God, if this woman is not inside of my head right now.
Yeah. Well, that's why you've always made me feel
God,
good because you're so.
I try.
But yeah. I know, you know why I love it too? You're like me. I know you don't say it to a lot of people. Like
no.
I don't find hardly anyone funny. First
no,
of all, you've
everybody.
Always been an inspiration to me because you kill
you.
And you're
thanks,
so
buddy.
Funny.
Thanks.
And there's not. A ton of, I mean.
Well, I think you and I are, not to toot our own horns, but we are in a rare, yeah. rarefied thing. There's yeah. not many, but it's not because of good things. I was thinking about this the other day.
It's trauma.
Yeah. Like the only women, that's why there's no women in comedy. It's not that they're not funny or whatever. It's that the stuff you have to go through to get to where we are is abuse. You have to be willing to sleep in awful hotels, motels.
That's very true.
Yeah,
you have to get assaulted 11 times. I mean, it's really...
That's the rule. And perform in these terrible places and have swingers hit on you.
It's a lot. You're very... That is very
it's
true.
It's so abusive. And
because
most
you have to
do it.
Really hate yourself.
Really hate
to make
yourself.
It big. And that's why we're doing...
It's the truth, though, for a woman to do
I'm
this?
Not, I'm, it sounds funny,
crazy.
But you have to really not be okay.
Yeah.
To, and I mean, like, we're okay, but I mean, you have to be comfortable with
yeah,
abuse.
100%.
That's what it is. You have to be comfortable with not being okay. Like, because
yes.
this is horrible. I mean, I have been in the middle of Texas by myself, walked days. Into a room, and it was not clean.
Yeah.
It was the bed was messy and like there was no one there to clean the bed. Like I driven in the middle of the night where you can't stop because it's too dangerous. Like it's scary shit. And I'm like, well, this is like where I grew up. This is normal to me. This is familiar.
Familiar.
Yeah. Not and when someone's like, you suck, you fat bitch. I'm like, Dad, like, it's just, this is what I grew up with. I mean it too.
And the abuse of the audience, like, we're not even getting there.
Oh.
Like the approval, disapproval cycle that you go through. And then, by the way, the first decade, nobody likes you. No one gives a fuck about you.
Yeah.
And you're just working to get their approval.
Yeah.
You know, every show is an uphill battle until you can build a name for yourself. And now they know who you are when you show up. And they're so bewildered if you're a woman.
Oh.
That part was always the first obstacle.
And then I've had people sexually harass me and I'm heavy and gay. So I can't even imagine what happens
heavy
to an attractive.
That's the name of your special.
I'm heavy and gay.
I like heavy and gay. Yeah,
that's funny for a special. Yeah,
yeah, that's your first
heavy. I'm heavy shit.
You know what's interesting though is that because I give off.
Can you imagine if I stayed like that the rest of the? You do it good.
That's your old lady.
I'm pear shaped.
Your old Jewish lady.
Where am I?
Usually that. Who's that? Is that your
grandma? My
grandmother. I know.
She was so hostile.
Yeah.
I'd walk in the room and she'd be like, what's wrong with you? You look horrible. You need eye makeup.
It's so rude.
You're so manly. Your father made you like that.
Ugh.
When I told her I was a lesbian, you know what she said to me? It's your father's fault. He wasn't good to you. He made you a lesbian.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Nobody, okay, I kind of didn't get sexualized. I think some of it is because I was with Tom from the very beginning.
Oh, that's a big part of it.
I was shielded because they knew the guy I was dating.
That's huge.
Beat the fuck out of you. So he actually it was a protective thing.
Yeah.
Because they knew that this is Segura's girl. Don't you fucking
touch
her.
That's a very big part of why.
And then also, I think I had extremely, weird vibes about me.
I could see that. I mean, I would be intimidated by you.
Oh, stop.
I didn't get it a lot. I mean, I just, I did this bar in Pennsylvania. The owner of the bar, I was making $50. I had to take a bus there from New York. And the owner heckled me. This is a true story. He was drunk. And he heckled me the whole show. He was the one that heckled me. And this is a true story. When I got off stage, he put money in my shirt, down my bra. He literally went like this. And I didn't say anything. That's part of what a lot of us have gone through. We wouldn't say anything because I didn't feel I had a right to. And I, you know, wanted to work.
You wanted to work. And that was the extent of it. Is I'm pretty sure people have. I remember there was a club in Florida where the owner was like, I got a hot tub. We have a hot tub.
Yeah.
Connie and I have a hot tub.
I've had couples wanted
And you're like,
and it's amazing who thinks that you'd want to be with them. I wish they were hot.
I know they're never.
They'd be like, you want to come home with us? We think you're very attractive. I'm like, this is really making me feel horrible that you think you have a chance.
I know. But here's the thing is that I'm so naive to it. I would never put it together until later.
Right.
People are like, hey, they wanted, like, no one's offered me cocaine.
I've been offered so many drugs because they know I'm about to, like, OD. Because they can tell that I'm not
you're not
doing
okay.
Well.
You're not doing
I've
well.
Had people hand me drugs many times. And I'm like, I'm sober. You didn't listen to my act because I talked about it. You were disassociating.
I've disassociated a lot. Have you realized that?
During sex, I always do.
Oh, really?
Well, I think about things I have to do the next day and I'm negative.
You won't allow, it's funny you said that about your
masturbation.
I don't
allow myself to have pleasure.
Yeah. I know it's funny. Every time I masturbate, I think of you saying that. Where you're like, I don't allow myself pleasure. And I'm like, I'm going to allow myself.
I told you when I'm not joking, my vibrator is like a jackhammer. it's that magic wand. It's this big. And it's from 1970 and has pieces missing from it. And you have to plug it into a wall. You'd think I'd get a new one, but I don't care about myself enough to get one.
Is it because you're on an SSRI that makes your vagina numb?
I mean, I'm on a lot. I don't even know what medications I'm on.
Yeah, that's why.
I literally don't even know what they're called.
Well, yeah, because I was on Lexapro for a while.
Me too. I'm not on it now.
It makes your vaggie a little nummy.
Yeah, no, I need one that's strong, like that can build like a home. I need.
Well, I'm off of it now, and I'm like, why did I get off of Lexapro? The world is a dark.
Oh, I can't. When I've been off of medication, my mom and my sister have been like, are you taking your Medicaid? Like, just because I have bad anxiety.
God, we're so mentally ill.
I know. You know what's cool?
This is the most depressing
conversation.
I love it. But I love when you meet a mirror and you're like, I get it.
I think so many people listening to this relate to this and watch. I mean, no one's okay. I mean, some people are. But
I don't think, here's the deal, man, is that I think you're either aware of your shadow stuff or you're not. Yeah. And the people that are okay just haven't fucking had a minute to be like, oh. Because you just, there comes an age, isn't there an age as well where you reach middle age and you're like, all right, I've done it. Check. Now what?
Well,
now what?
Some of the people that think they're okay are really horrific people who are very damaging to other people. Like they're narcissists. They're people who have mental disorders that aren't medicated. Yes. So they ruin other people's lives.
Yes.
And they think they're amazing.
Mom and dad. Yes. My family. Everyone in my family is so damaged and so gone.
Yeah.
And just so bad. And it sucks when you're the one in the family that goes to get help. Because then you're the bad guy. Then everyone in your sick, fucking dysfunctional world is like, oh, you think you're better than me? Christina thinks she's so much better than us. And I'm like, I'm not. I was fucking suicidal by the time I'm 14 because you guys are maniacs.
I know, but it's hard because you feel like they're all ganging up on you. And
yeah, which they are. They hate me.
Well, you know what? The best revenge is a great life. I hate what I just said. That was sickening.
I know. You feel gross insane.
Yeah, it's just not true.
I know.
But that's what everyone says. If one more person tells me to just breathe, I'm going to shoot them.
You know what's interesting is that I started doing a somatic form of therapy.
Yeah.
Where you get into your body.
That's very helpful. That's why I don't do it. But it's very...
What? Well, because we're so
disassociated.
It's
very helpful. It is.
But can I tell you what I hate most about it?
What?
Breathing.
I fucking hate breath work, but it works. I've done it. But it's very helpful.
Why do we hate it? Why do I hate breathing?
Because it's, first of all, I hate it.
And they're like, hold it. Now let it out. And I'm like, don't tell me what to do.
That whole thing feels like I'm being. Now hold it. Now let it out. It's like, just finger me without, like, against my will. It's a lot.
It is a lot. I get nauseous when I do breath work.
Yeah, I cry. That's what I mean. Like, I don't want to be vulnerable.
I don't want to be vulnerable either.
Have you ever hit a pillow with a bat? Or
no.
Like, oh, I've done that shit.
But I
just did it. I went away like 2 months ago for a week to do trauma work.
Really?
I work hard.
Wait,
yeah.
Where do you go? I want to go.
Oh, it's amazing. You have to go.
I want to check myself in somewhere.
You need to go. It's 5 days. I went to Arizona and it changed my life.
I want
to
do it.
For like a week. And now I'm horrific again. Yeah. But it's amazing. No, I'm going
to
give you the information.
I asked my shrink. I'm like,
can I just
check myself in somewhere and just cry for a week?
It was incredible.
Oh.
You would get so much out of it. And it's like a really nice place. It's in the desert. It's beautiful.
That's what I want. You know what I started doing? Microdosing.
I never did that.
It's a very minimal.
Did you see like a great life? Do you see like?
No.
Do you hallucinate like happiness?
No. It's not. It's so mild that you can still. By the way, this is like a trend in the mom world.
I know.
Moms are microdosing, and because you can still watch your kids, you're not like. You're just what you are is just a little separated from your thoughts, from your ego. So you're just able to kind of like boop, look at things from up here, and then you're like, oh, that's why I do this and that and da da da, and you're able to play with your children and be playful and be like in the moment.
How long do you do it for?
You just take a little capsule. It lasts for maybe 4 to 6 hours, and then you're
forever.
Done.
This sounds amazing. Can you do it with ecstasy or cocaine?
That's even harder. That's way too harsh. But this one. Is just very subtle.
Were you ever into coke?
No, I was always into downers, not stimulant. Already fucked. You got to peel me off the ceiling with the anxiety and everything.
I understand.
I like down.
Do you have any obsessive compulsive stuff? I was
so
into
much.
Coke for a little.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a little bit.
When in the 90s?
Well, I was selling pot at the time, so it was not a good combination. So I'd look out of a peephole for like 6 hours at a time on my tippy toes. That's the only time my calves ever hurt in my whole life, not from exercise.
That's what I hear, because Tom and I had a driver when we were very broke who would smoke crack.
I crystal. Never smoked crack.
But he said that, I go, what do you do when you're high? And he's like, I look out the peephole.
Me too. I looked out the peephole. I looked out of the curtains. I would flush it down the toilet, go out to get more, put it inside
great.
Of me. It was out of my, I was out of my mind.
Sounds perfect.
It was, I was at, because I was selling pot. So I was like, I thought the cops were out to get me. It was really bad.
But what's enjoyable? Is there
it was
something...
torturous, but you can't stop doing it. And it was destructive. So I liked it.
Yeah. Cause I think there's something to that looping those behaviors.
Right.
You're like, ooh.
It was obsessive.
Yeah.
It was
an OCD thing.
It was an OCD thing. Cause it was a repetitive. What's your biggest OCD thing?
I get a few. It always happens when I am anxious.
Yeah. Me
but
too.
I can tell you when I was postpartum, that was the first time I labeled it. Yeah. I was checking the monitors all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the baby's breathing. The baby's breathing. I just met somebody that lost their fucking 5-week-old baby to SIDS. And I was like, okay, that's why I was checking the monitor, because I was so in postpartum psychosis. And I was like, is he breathing? It's horrible. I'm so happy to be done with those years, you know? That's what really set me off, is the 0 to 4 years. Because I think if you grew up with like a mom that was wet, because she has a wacky mom too, is that like they did not fucking nurture us the way you're supposed to. So when you hear your baby crying and you have to parent to that age, it's extra fucked up for you, because you're like, oh my God, this is the worst time of my life. I was a helpless person, infant, blah, blah, blah.
I had to deal with a lot of that, like projecting my shit onto my kids, like thinking that I'm going to damage them, that if they cry, they're not going to be okay. Like I've had to work really hard on that shit. Really, really hard.
What's the solution?
It's difficult. Well, I'm aware of it. You know, that it's normal for them to cry. Or like I yelled at my like 3 little ones a couple of months ago. And when I tell you, I was sobbing because I screamed at them. And I don't do that a lot. And they were being very disrespectful. Very. And I felt so guilty because of my, you know, being screamed at. And I thought, oh my God, I just damaged it. Like they got scared. I had never screamed at them like that. And they were crying. And it's normal. Like sometimes you get impatient with your kids and you scream. And I apologized twice. And then I thought, you know what? I got to forgive myself. Like this is, my friends were like, I scream at my kid. Like it's okay.
All the time. And you're never going to be a Zen parent.
I know.
And I know that like I go on Instagram and I see these parent coaches and they're like, you know, you just got to be relaxed and let the kid feel their feeling. And you're just like, shut the fuck up. You're going to lose your shit. But I think the point is, as long as you repair it with the kid, if you're like, I hear you, if you scream at them, you just go like, listen, I'm sorry. I did.
That's
lost
what
my
I
mind.
Said.
I'm so sorry. I'm back.
Yeah, I said to my almost 8-year-old, I said, I said it to her twice. And she goes, Mama, it's okay. Like, get over it. Like, she was like, you're so like, let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is tough.
Ugh, it's always tough. I think for this month, especially, I've been like, when you don't have a good mom and then like, okay, so you grow up like, my mother's schizophrenic. So I didn't have a normal anything, right, with a mother. And then you don't even know what you're missing until you have your own children.
I know, it's very, it's a lot when you have your children and then you're like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I would, like just feeling safe?
Mm-hmm.
Safety? That?
I never felt safe growing up.
Of course not. That's why we're comics. Yeah, but it made you funny. Yeah. No, of course not. I was always, and what I mean by that is, if I was even just sitting in the living room with like my dad and my stepmother, like I couldn't breathe, and
Me
my
too.
Shoulders were always here, and it's just constant state of like anxiety
Me
around
too.
My family. What's going to happen? Even like I hate getting cards and letters from people, because my mother, when she was really sick and schizo, would write me these crazy esoteric letters about Hillary Clinton and these cryptic things, and she would send them in the mail to me. And then I'd be like just bawling, like my mother's this crazy person. So even
that's
now.
That's really hard. Well, when was the last time you spoke to her?
She died in 2015.
Oh.
But then I stopped speaking to her like 8 years prior to her death. Cause it was just, I had to like get myself away to heal.
Yeah, you have to. Mental. You have to.
Yeah. Do you talk to your mom?
Oh yeah. I'm very close with my mom now. See, my mom is an incredible person and she means well. She just wasn't maternal. And she was a therapist who was helping the world and not home taking care of us. So that was difficult. Mm. That was really hard. So we were like, I had no one around. I had no mom growing up. Like I was really had to fend for myself. So I didn't really learn how to take care of myself. And I was really angry at her for many, many, many years. And the great thing that happened was she apologized. And she worked hard on herself to like, and there's still things that happen now, but like, I understand that she came from shit.
Mm.
And I realized that like having resentments is only hurting me.
I know. And that, it's that's really the hard part though.
But I went through a lot with my dad. Mm. So there's a lot there. And
is he still
passed.
Alive?
He passed 3 years. He passed right when COVID started.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah. Yes. And his passing was very difficult. He was enraged when he passed. I've been talking about it on stage and people don't laugh. And I'm like, this is so funny. Because he was watching Fox News and he's like, if you want to sit with me when I'm dying, you're going to watch fucking Fox News, whether you like it or not. You're going to sit here with me in a Brooklyn accent. Yeah. And I was like, I love you, Dad. He's like, how many times are you going to say I love you? Over and over again. You're going to fucking say I love you. Like he was really, yeah. And
sounds loving.
He's like,
sounds
I just like want to die. Yeah. I just want to fucking go. I was like, this is a lot. Like, can I kill you? Like, this is really getting brutal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was... I got my sense of humor with him from him.
Yeah.
But he was very dramatic. Like if he was pissed, he'd slam his head into a cabinet.
Oh my.
Or he'd rip his toupee off and throw it.
That's really funny though.
People laugh at that. That's it had really tape funny. On it. So it would just land on things. It was insane.
It sounds like he was an angry guy.
Well, he was. He came to my Comedy Central special. I did an hour and a half. I was one of the best sets I ever had. And my friend said, wasn't she great? And he goes, yeah, but she lost steam in the middle. Like, that's how I grew up. So I'm hard on myself. You know, that's...
Gosh, I know you're talking about. My mother went to my very first stand-up show, which I wish she hadn't.
To the first time you were on stage?
Ever.
Wow.
It was like 26 or something when I started stand-up.
You and I, I started 24 years ago.
Yeah. And she goes, it's not that, like, what you are saying is funny, but, like... how you say it. I'm like, first of all, I don't even understand your fucking criticism. Like she couldn't
at
just
at least make
like,
it understandable.
Yeah, you dumb bitch. Like, at
she's
least...
like, I mean, I love feta cheese, but she,
no.
I don't.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? At least, yeah, she's such a cunt. Just say, great job. That's it. That's all you gotta do to your kids. You know what I mean? Oh, and then my dad came to my show at the Laugh Factory, like when I was, first time I was hosting, like one of the first times. And, you know, it's a big deal when you host
of
at a
course.
Big club. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm
big deal
hosting now. Wow. And he brought a bunch of Hungarians and then he heckled me during my act. Yeah. And you know, like, he would be like, yeah, right. It was like the worst. I'm like, no more. You guys are no longer invited. That was the end of the supportive.
Yeah, you got to cut off contact.
Yeah.
I had times when I didn't speak to them.
To your dad too?
Yeah.
But then it sounds like you were able to come around enough to be there for his death, which is really cool.
It was difficult, but I said to myself, how do I want to feel later in my life? And I wasn't at the point with you where I couldn't speak to him. You know, I was like, I can do it. But it was hard.
Yeah. My
it was
mom
hard because he never sat with me and said, I want you to be happy. I hope that you have like this in your life or don't worry about me. Like I would have to sit with my kids and say that. I would not want them to ever worry. Like I'd want them to know how much I love them, much I want them to succeed and not worry and just move on with their life. So it was difficult. It was.
Yeah. My mom was like the type that loved me to participate in her illnesses.
Oh man.
You know, like I am dying of cancer. I am having a stroke.
I don't mean to laugh.
No, it's the best. So one time Tom got to be there for this one. She calls me from the hospital. I had a stroke. Look up to the hospital. And I'm like, okay. And I brought Tom, and we get there, and I go, my mother had a stroke? And the doctor's like, no, no. She just got dehydrated and passed out at Lamps R Us.
Lamps R Us.
Yeah. She had the stroke. It was just like, what the fuck? And Tommy was like, is this real? You know, he was trying to joke with her, like, hey, we're going to go dancing later. And she's like, fuck you, going dancing. Like, she hated him.
Did she go? I mean, I'm sure you've talked about this a ton of times, but did she go into different people?
No, that's multiple personality disorder. So there's a difference. Schizophrenia. My mother would break with reality and have psychoses.
Yeah.
So when I was little, I didn't realize that she was schizophrenic, but only sometimes she would break with reality. Certain things would trigger her and she would go into psychosis. And that's another thing I'm learning now.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, wow. Oh, wait a minute. Not everybody's mom, you know, does these weird behaviors. You just think
it's normal. As a child, that must be so hard.
I know, it was terrible. It was truly, truly, truly. But that's why I'm going to Arizona. I'm going to check myself.
I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. I did all trauma work about my childhood. I did. I've done it before a lot. I've done it a bunch of times. It's the only thing that's really helped me with my childhood.
You were alone?
A lot.
Like a latchkey kid? Yeah, same.
And then, and there was no food in the fridge.
Same!
And if there was, it was rotten.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I'm being serious. I don't know how I got through school. No one did my homework with me. I don't I did my assignments. I don't know how I really don't. A lot of my friends' parents, like, would pick me up, drive me places. Like, I had to help at certain, but I don't know how my teacher, I don't know how it happened.
I know what I know what you're saying, because when you're a little girl and you're alone, first of all, you're an only child.
I was scared. I was petrified in the house.
All the time. Me too.
I always heard noises. There was robbers. I always wanted to run away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you ever do this one where you were convinced that you were born into the wrong family, and that when you turned 16, somebody would show up with a letter like Harry Potter later? Like, I'm like, J.K. Rowling was abused as a kid, because that is an orphaned fantasy.
Yeah.
And you're like, they're going to tell me that I belong to this different family. There's no fucking way these people are in my bio family.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy too is that we knew not to tell at school.
Oh yeah. Never told anyone.
No.
Never. No one, even like my friend, no one knew how bad it was. I was embarrassed.
No. Yeah.
I was mortified. Like, my mom wouldn't show up to pick us up a lot. So the carpool of kids would always be, when it was my mom's turn, like, everyone would be like, where's your mom? I'm like, oh, she'll be here soon. Like, it was mortifying.
It's terrible. They didn't have fucking daycare back then.
No, it would be like, you know, she would pick us up after elementary school or junior high, a carpool. So it would, I know, or I'd be at a friend's house. I know, it's very sad. I'd be at a friend's house and, you know, the parents would be like, do you want to eat dinner here? I'm like, no, my mom's, I know this is sad. I'd be like, my mom's coming to pick me up. And then they'd be done with dinner and it'd be dark out and I'm still waiting. I know, it's sad.
That's dark.
Bad. It's bad. It's bad.
Because my dad would pull that, like, oh, I'm coming in and pick you up on Saturday at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock comes, my dad's nowhere. 5 o'clock comes.
I know. I dealt with it constantly.
As a little girl, as a little kid, that.
It's bad. It's bad. It was bad everywhere I went. And, you know, there were no cell phones. There were no beeper. There's nothing. So there's no way of getting in touch with her. And she would forget. She's just like. And it was like, she didn't do it on purpose. She just was so flighty, you know, and it was hard to be like angry at her. But that's why that trauma work that I've done, like slamming a bat. I mean, I know it sounds funny to people, but it really helps to just allow yourself to just, you fucking bitch, you didn't show up.
I know.
Yeah, you fucking bitch. Just screaming and slamming and crying. I mean, it does heal. It does.
Of course
it works.
It does. But okay, so I don't want to leave people. We got to go soon.
Let's talk about 9/11.
Yeah. What's up with this Israel-Palestine thing? Anyway, my shrink says that, I don't know about you, but it sounds like you did the same thing, because we both grew up painfully alone and hiding from our parents. I was hiding from my mother a lot in my room. And the one thing that kept me alive was television.
Yes.
Movies, comedies.
Yes.
I would memorize comedies on television. I would listen to stories and records. I loved Pippi Longstocking. She was my hero.
Oh, I loved her too.
Yeah. Thank God for Pippi.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish that was popular now because she was an orphan, right? Her dad was a pirate.
She was great.
She's amazing. And she was very powerful little, I think she was 9 years old, which is the magic age for girls. They say nine, right before puberty destroys your self-esteem. And she was powerful and she could do whatever she wanted. She was she had a chest full of coins. So she didn't need anybody for money.
I know.
She was rad.
And they don't know who she is now.
What?
I mean, meaning like the kids now. Like,
they don't. It's too bad. There's Pippi. So that's the original one, Swedish one.
Pippi.
And then they.
Oh my, I have not seen her in.
This was created by a Swedish writer. She had a daughter, and this is based on the daughter, her little girl. Such a beautiful story. God, I'm going to cry even looking at it. There's Mr. Nielsen, her monkey.
Yep.
And then they would dub these movies over on Channel 5 in Los Angeles if you grew up in LA.
Did you grow up with Zoom and the Magic Garden and all those people?
No. Oh, wait. Kazoo, something like that? Is a TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kazoo? Yeah.
No, Magic Garden.
Look it up. Is that what you watched as a kid?
Yeah.
Aww.
It was great.
What year are you born? I'm 76.
Oh, yeah. You're old, you're younger than me. I'm 42.
Okay. I don't. Wow, this is some hippie stuff.
It was fun. Yeah. I grew up in a hippie, you know.
I like that stuff, though. But I feel like that stuff spoke directly to kids. It was nice.
And it was safe and sweet and.
And slow paced, too. But anyway, being creative was the thing that saved us.
I know. It really was.
Yeah.
That's so, and now it's just internet. It is.
I know.
I feel like we make sure that the kids are creative. They color a lot. They do art. You know, they go out and do things. I mean, they're outside a lot. Like, I mean, they are on their iPads a lot too, and they do that shit. But
yeah, they have to be though. Tomorrow.
I mean, kids are fucked up now.
No, but you know what I was thinking about? Is that when we were growing up, the biggest evil was television, right? They were like, can't watch so much TV. TV's rotting your brain. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I watch TV all day, every day.
Me too.
And I'm the most, I made a living being creative. Mm. So it's like, I think every generation, they freak out about what the kids are into. But it's like, okay, but if the kid is an unmotivated, lazy piece of shit, they're going to grow up to be that no matter what. You know, like, don't you feel like you see that shit? Like, I grew up with kids that were fucking losers, like, in kindergarten. You're like, that kid's going to be in jail. And he's in fucking jail today, you know? Like,
yeah.
There's just the wiring. It's like.
You're right.
Either you are or you're, I don't know.
They did say if watching TV all day, you know, you would be,
you're going to rot your brain out. And then I remember, like, reading the studies, like, it's this passive viewing thing. Your brain goes into, like, sleep waves. And then. You know, they're just advertising to you. And it's true. I grew up being advertised to. But like, okay. So I still had to live in the real world.
Yeah.
Eventually they have to turn off the iPad.
I know.
Anyway, I'm glad you had a traumatic childhood because you're very funny.
Thank you.
And I wish you didn't have to go through all that.
I do too. But, you know, it did help me to be funny. And also, I work through it, you know, but it's like, I feel like I have to continue to work through it. That's being completely honest.
Oh, it's never ending.
I feel like some of it, this is going to sound horrible, but I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like some of it you can't, when it comes to a mom, it's hard. It's hard with a girl, with a mom to really repair that.
I know.
It's like this hole that you can't, I don't know. I don't know if you can ever fully.
Never.
Like, what do you fill it with? It's like that bond that you
we never
didn't have.
Have
at a very, very, very young age. Like, even a baby or a toddler. I don't know what you can do.
You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. I don't know if you've ever adopted a dog, a shelter dog.
Yeah.
The greatest dog I've ever had, FIFO, was a shelter doggy. And we don't know what his history was, but he did not have a good childhood.
Yeah.
A doggyhood. but he was the fucking coolest dog
yeah.
we ever had. And he always had quirks, and there was no matter what training we did,
yeah.
the dog had separation anxiety,
right.
for instance, abandonment issues.
So interesting.
There's only so much you can correct, and then you're like, the cookie's been baked. This is the cookie. So
the same thing, yes.
But on the other hand, like, that's part of your charm.
Of course.
You're going to be a little fucked up your whole life.
Yeah. And you can play it out a lot in your bond with your children. You know, you can really cure a lot of that.
Yes.
You can,
which is really cool.
Yeah.
Because I'm so close to my boys,
yeah,
and I love mothering them, and I love snuggling. And,
me too.
And my mother would never let me touch her hair. I don't think I touched my mother's hair.
Really?
Ever, because it was very crispy. She would
crispy.
Put lemon juice in it. And then tease it up and then spray it, shellac it, like big red nails all the time. She was just very unapproachable.
Yeah,
don't touch me, you know.
Yeah.
Like a porcupine.
That's hard.
Was your mom like that too?
No, I mean, she was a little like, yeah, she was distant when I was growing up, but she was still affectionate, but she was distant. She would get, I feel like when I hugged her, she was like kind of a half hug.
And she's like, oh, good job.
But now she's much more affectionate.
That's nice that she broke down.
She worked really, really, really hard on herself. So I have to give her credit.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Hey, if you can have a come to Jesus in the second part of your life and make it up to your kids, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, fuck. You know, it's funny. The only other person I know that has a schizo mom is Tim Dillon.
Oh, and his is, didn't she pass?
She just passed, yeah.
But was tough too. I mean,
she was institutionalized.
I know.
Mine had caregivers that would come to her house, but she was on meds and stuff, but wasn't institutionalized. So she must have been really out there when he was very young, because mine got worse as she got older. She was functional when I was a kid. So I don't know. Wild times, bros.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm glad we talked about this, because I think on the road now this week in Madison, I was asking people, I was like, who do you think's worse? Are there more shitty moms or shitty dads? And I'm like, clap for shitty moms. And there's a lot of claps.
Yeah.
Clap. Shitty dads always wins, though. Sorry. dads are in the fucking tie of the crown. They're just, yeah, overall.
That's
not
an
great.
Interesting question. I want to ask that, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to hear. But I would assume that dads, yeah.
I don't understand why. It's like, dude, do you not care about your offspring? And apparently not. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either. Another, that's weird. I wonder why.
Why don't you guys care about kids? What's up with that?
I mean, they'll figure it out. You know?
Well, we don't grow them inside of us. So what
they say? They don't. Oh, you just have it outside. So Chad says they don't grow the babies inside of themselves, so they're not as attached. I think there's something to that. But you didn't birth your babies and you feel...
I didn't, and I literally feel like I did.
I think it has something to do with estrogen, my man.
I think it has to do with maternal... Yes, it does. It does.
You know, I just realized I didn't put on deodorant today.
I don't smell you.
No, it's very sticky under my armpits right now.
I mean, I don't smell your armpits, but I smell something else.
Jessica Carson, I love you. Where can we see you?
Yeah, no, don't worry. Actually, November 14th is my birthday, so that's why we decided to have that day.
Happy Smurf Day.
Thank you. When's your birthday?
June 18th.
What sign is that?
I'm a Gemini.
Oh, like my sister.
Uh-oh.
No, I love my sister dearly. She's amazing. Okay. I love her. Yes, coming out on my YouTube channel, Jessica Carson Comedy.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's all crowd work. It's
oh, this is your special you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, my crowd work special.
Listen, if you haven't seen, Kirsten's material is amazing, but the crowd work is other level. Go check out her TikTok account, too, if you want to see. She put some clips up there. So you're putting out a special entirely on crowd work.
Yes, and my YouTube and TikTok has a huge following, and it's a lot of crowd work clips. Like, every day I put out a crowd work clip. But I decided to put it out on YouTube because like everyone wants to see my crowd work. And
I love it.
Yeah. And it's great. I filmed it at the Comedy Cellar in the big room with two crowds. I did 2 hours of crowd work. We couldn't even decide what to put in it because the crowds were unbelievable. And I think it's the funniest thing I've ever made, which is a big statement. Because I hate myself. So,
yeah.
And I did it with a live band. So I improv songs, and it's like, I'm very proud of it. Like,
dude, this sounds rad. What's
it is.
It called?
I'm sending it to you.
Okay.
You're on the list. I'm sending you and Tom.
Can't wait.
I'm sending you guys this week.
What's it called?
It's called No Material.
No Material. Jessica Curson, her YouTube page, check out her TikTok. She's fucking the funniest human being on the planet.
Aww.
And I love you so much.
I love you too.
Much continued success. I want you to stack checks, bitch. We should make our money.
It's going good. It's going good.
All right, guys. Thank you for watching. Until next time, stay cool, moms. Bye.
Bye.
Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.